certainly thankful for the presence of each and every one. I appreciate those very encouraging, uplifting hymns that David led us in. I appreciate the good prayer that Craig led us in, and appreciate the good reading of the scripture that Carlos just gave us. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to conclude our sermon series on soul winning. The last few weeks we've been talking about soul winning, and we've looked at some lessons in regard to soul winning. And today we're going to conclude our series of soul winning. We're going to talk about this morning seven keys to winning souls. And then tonight we're going to conclude our series with a study on the hymn, A Soul Winner for Jesus. And we're going to take a look at 5 points, Lord willing, this afternoon from that hymn, A Soul Winner for Jesus, that we can take and make application of for why we should be a soul winner for Jesus. But this morning, as we prepare to wrap up our series, I want us to take just a few moments to discuss seven keys to winning souls. And when we talk about the key to something, we're simply referring to an effective way to achieve something. So when we're talking about what I refer to as the seven keys to winning souls, we're going to take some time this morning to discuss seven ways that I believe will be effective to winning souls. And we're going to take just a few moments to discuss those seven keys to winning souls. And we're just going to begin with, if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we are going to have to let others see Christ living in us. That is first and foremost. If we're going to be effective in bringing souls to Jesus, then we're going to have to let others see Jesus living in us. You see, the life of an effective soul winner, it must, and I repeat, it must conform to the message that he's teaching. And when we're talking about Jesus Christ to others, when we're teaching others about Jesus, guess what? They need to see Jesus in us. When I think about that, I'm mindful of the words of the Apostle Paul found there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. And you recall a few weeks ago, we looked at some soul winner role models. And one of those soul winner role models that we looked at was the Apostle Paul. And we talked about how the Apostle Paul, how he was without a doubt a soul winner worthy of imitation. And you think about the Apostle Paul and how he presented himself. And you think about how Paul was one who was all in winning souls for Jesus. You think about how Paul was one who did his very best to imitate Jesus. I'm mindful of those words he told the Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Remember what he said? He said, imitate me as I imitate who? Christ. You see that? Just as the Apostle Paul encouraged Christians in Corinth to imitate him as he imitated Christ, we too need to be a people this very day who strive to be imitators of Christ Jesus. Again, thinking of the Apostle Paul and how he was one who certainly strive to imitate Christ. I'm mindful of the words he penned there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. And there the apostle writes, I have been crucified with Christ. Now watch this. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Did you catch that? Did you notice what Paul said? He said, I've been crucified with Christ. And he goes on to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Think about that. Again, Paul, he wasn't about Paul, was he? But he was about Christ and about spreading the message of Christ. And he was effective in that, because he was an imitator of Christ. He was one in which others saw Christ living in him. Not only did Paul say it, he showed it. And we too need to be a people who let others see Christ living in us. And when I think about that, I can't help but to be mindful of these words of John found there in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse number 3. John writes, "Now by this we know that we are in Him." How is that, John? Well, notice. "If we keep His commandments, he who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Again, if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we're going to have to be a people who not only share Christ with others, but we're going to have to be a people who let Christ, who let others see Christ living in us. We're going to have to be a people who walk just as He walked. And John made it very clear. He who says he abides in Him, that being Christ, ought himself also to walk just as He walked. But I also suggest to us this morning, another key to winning souls is pray for opportunities to arise to share the gospel with others and to take advantage of them. You see, if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we're going to have to be a prayerful people. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to be praying for God's help to open doors that we can take the gospel and teach the gospel to others. And then when those opportunities arrive, when they arise, we're going to have to take advantage of them. You see, again, referring to the Apostle Paul, I think about what his prayer and heart's desire was there in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. What was that? You remember what Paul said? He said, "My prayer and heart's desire is for what? For Israel to be saved." You see, Paul understood that he needed to petition God and let his request be made known to God. His request and his heart's desire was for God's people of old to be saved. His desire was for souls to be won. And we need to be mindful, brethren, that if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray. And we're going to have to pray for opportunities to arise to share the gospel with others. Going there to Ephesians chapter 6, we're very mindful of the text here in Ephesians chapter 6, and then most of us are very well with the context here where Paul is talking about the armor of God. But as he talks about the armor of God, and as he talks about how not only do we need to put on the armor of God, but we also need to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, he also made a request, didn't he? He made a request to them, for them to pray for him. Why? Well, notice verse 19. "That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." You see that? Paul petitioned these saints in Ephesus to pray for him. To pray for him not only that he may boldly speak the gospel, but also that opportunities may arise for him to teach the gospel. And we learn about this even further going there to Colossians chapter 4. Turn your Bibles with me there to Colossians chapter 4. And notice what Paul says here beginning in verse number 2. There Paul's instruction is, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." But he didn't stop there, did he? Notice verse 3. He says, "Meanwhile, praying also for us." Why, Paul? "That God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ." Simply put, Paul was pleading with the saints in Colossae, to pray for them, for a door to open, that the Word of God could be taught. Paul was asking the saints in Colossae to pray for open doors for him and his fellow laborers. And brethren, if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we're going to likewise have to pray for opportunities to arise to share the gospel. And when those opportunities arise, and they will, then we need to push that door open. If that door cracks, push it open. Take advantage of those opportunities. And be mindful of this. And I heard this once, and it's always stuck with me. But we need to be mindful that anyone who seeks to do something without petitioning God in prayer is seeking to do something without God's help. Remember that. And we need to be mindful of that as we are seeking to be soul winners for Jesus. We need God's help. And we need to petition God's help as we're seeking to win souls for Jesus. We need to pray for opportunities to arise to share the gospel. And we need to take advantage of them when they come. But I also suggest to us this morning, another key to winning souls is that we are going to have to remember that the gospel is for all and that God desires for all men to be saved. Again, we need to be mindful as we are seeking to win souls to know that gospel's for all. It's for all. It's for every man. And we need to not be prejudiced in sharing the gospel with others. Sadly, there are some who will just look at somebody and say, well, they don't look like somebody that would be interested in the gospel. I'm not even going to mention it to them. We must not be like that. We must not be prejudiced in sharing the gospel with others. But rather, we need to be mindful of the fact that the gospel is for all, and God desires for all men to be saved. You remember there in Mark chapter 16, as Jesus commissioned his disciples, you remember what he said there to them in verse number 15 of Mark 16? What did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Every creature. Again, Jesus is simply expressing there that the gospel's for all, and it needs to be preached to all. We learn there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 of the will of God. And you want to know what the will of God is? As we learn there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, what is that? What did Paul say? He, that being God, desires for all men. And did you catch that? All men to what? To be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. You see that? God desires for all men to be saved. He doesn't desire for any to perish. We learn about that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And there Peter informed, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, the Lord our God's will is for no one to perish, but for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And it's up to you and I, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, to be taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to all men. And again, we need to be mindful of the fact that God is no respecter of persons, and just as God is no respecter of persons, neither shall we be a respecter of persons. And to remind us of that, I take us there to Acts chapter 10. And as good Bible students, you're familiar with the context here in Acts chapter 10. You're familiar with Peter going to Cornelius' household and preaching Christ to Cornelius and his household. And I want you to notice as Peter is preaching to Cornelius' household, these words of Peter here in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse number 34. There it's recorded, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. Verse 35, but in every nation Whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Remember that. God shows no partiality. God is no respecter of persons. But Peter said, in every nation. Guess what? That means whether you're yellow, black, white, red, whatever. Every nation. Peter says, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by God. Remember that. And remember that the gospel is for all, and that God desires for all men to be saved. And as we're seeking to share the gospel with others, if we're going to be effective in winning souls for Jesus, we must not be a respecter of persons, but rather we must take advantage of every opportunity we have to share the gospel with everyone. But I also suggest to us this morning another key to winning souls. And that is, if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we are going to have to know well what we are going to teach and share to others about God's will. We've said it before and we'll say it again. We cannot teach others what we do not know, can we? Can't do it. We're not going to be able to teach others that which we ourselves do not know. But you want to know something? It has been said, the better you know something, the more likely you will be effective in teaching what you know. There's a lot of truth in that statement. The more we know something, the more we know about the subject that we are teaching others about, the more effective we're going to be able to explain that to that person, which should lead to them understanding more efficiently what we're talking about. And brethren, if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we're going to have to be a people who know this book. We're going to have to be a people who know our Bibles. We're going to have to be a people who know what we are teaching and sharing with others about God's will. It's important. And when I think about that, I'm mindful of Paul's instruction there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Remember what Paul said about that there? He said, do not be unwise, but what? Understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, as God's people, we need to not only realize the fact that God has a will, but we need to understand it. We need to know it. And how are we going to get a good understanding and knowledge of God's will? What are we going to have to do to get that? Again, we're going to have to keep our nose in this book. We're going to have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Remember, that's what Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Quoting from the King James Version, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're going to know God's word well, if we're going to know well his will for man, we're going to have to know his revealed will that he's revealed by the Holy Spirit that is recorded for us in this all-inspired word that I'm holding in my hand right now. We're going to have to know our Bibles. And we're going to have to study them to gain that knowledge and understanding of God's will. And when we do that, and we grasp a good understanding and knowledge of God's will, it's going to help us be effective in teaching others about God's will. And remember, as we've talked about previously in this short series, as servants of the Lord, what is one of those qualities that a servant of the Lord must do? Teach. Teach. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 24. We all need to be doing what we can to be teaching and sharing God's word with others. And in order to be effective in that, we need to know well what we are teaching and sharing with others. But another key to winning souls to share with you this morning, and that is the fact that as we are out there seeking to win souls for Jesus, we're going to have the proper disposition. We're going to have to be gentle and patient in teaching others. You see, sadly, there are many who attempt to win souls for Jesus, but they quickly give up because they get impatient. They give up because it's not going as quickly along as they want it to. But you want to know something? When it comes to winning souls, we're going to have to be gentle and we're going to have to be patient. You see, you think about being gentle. You think about the need to have a mild, kind, tender disposition. You think about patient. You think about the need to remain calm and not become frustrated or annoyed. You think about those important qualities. And again, we talked about these qualities a few weeks ago as we looked at some needed characteristics of a soul winner. We talked about these qualities. But again, it's important to understand just how much these qualities are really needed if we are going to be effective in winning souls. You think about when someone approaches you about something. Attitude matters when they approach you, doesn't it? It matters. I don't know about you, but if somebody approaches me and they're just yelling and they're screaming and they're just out of control, it's going to be hard for me to, first and foremost, concentrate on what they're trying to relay to me, because I'm just going to be standing there thinking, wow, this person's out of control. But on the flip side of that coin, if somebody comes to me in a mild, kind, gentle manner, and they approach me about something, guess what? First and foremost, I'm going to feel comfortable in listening to them and what they want to share with me. And I feel like we all feel that way, right? I mean, you've heard the saying before, you catch more flies with what? Honey. Honey. So true, right? And if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we're going to have to be one who is gentle and patient in teaching others. Even the Apostle Paul, in writing to Christians, expressed the need to be gentle when we seek to not only restore someone, but also in our teaching with others. And we learn about that in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1, for instance. And remember what Paul said there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1? He said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one." How, Paul? "In a spirit of gentleness." Why do you think Paul said that? Because Paul understood if we sought to restore someone in an opposite manner than that of gentleness, it wouldn't be effective. It wouldn't be effective. That's why we need to be mindful of the need to be gentle. To be gentle in our teaching with others. And again, that's another one of those characteristics of a servant of the Lord that we read about there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 24. But not only do we need to be gentle in teaching others, but we need to be patient with them. Again, we see that need there again in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, but we also see it in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse number 2. You know what Paul told Timothy there, a young preacher? You know what he told him there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2? He said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort." Now watch this. "With all longsuffering and teaching." See, Paul threw that in there, didn't he? He told Timothy that as he's preaching the word, he needs to do so with all long suffering. Simply put, he's telling Timothy, be patient in your teaching. Again, as a young preacher myself, I find that to be difficult at times. I find that to be difficult. But we need to be mindful of the importance of being patient and long-suffering in our teaching with others. Again, we need to remain calm and not become frustrated or annoyed when we're seeking to teach a soul about the gospel. And we need to give them time to receive that message. And we need to be reminded of the need to be gentle and patient in teaching others. But another one to share with you this morning in regard to keys to winning souls. And that is, if we're going to be effective in winning souls, we just need to be reminded of the need to do our part in sowing and watering the seed, and then we need to leave the increase to God. We've talked about it throughout this series of lessons, the fact that the power is not in you and I in bringing souls to Jesus. The power is not in us, but the power is in the Word. The power is in the gospel. And we need to be mindful that although we have a part in bringing souls to Jesus, we need to know our part. And then we just need to focus on doing our part and leaving the rest to God. When I think about that, I think about the fact that how there are many today who get frustrated when they seek to teach someone about the gospel and that person doesn't respond to the gospel. I'm mindful of the fact that, again, it's not you or I who has the ability or power to open hearts, to be receptive to God's word. But again, it's God. And we must not whittle on God's end of the stick, mustn't we? We need to be mindful of the fact that we just need to do our part, and then we need to leave the rest to God. And thinking about that, I'm mindful of Lydia, as we learn there in Acts chapter 16. Again, as good Bible students, we're familiar of Paul and Silas going to Philippi. And as they were in Philippi, they came across a woman named Lydia. And notice this with me here in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse number 14. There we read, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us." That's talking about Paul and Silas. "She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God." Now watch this. "The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Did you notice who it was as Paul and Silas was preaching and teaching God's word? Did you notice who it was that opened Lydia's heart? Was it Paul? Was it Silas? Shake your head like this. Because it wasn't. Who was it? The Bible says God opened her heart. And again, Paul and Silas did their part in sowing the seed and watering the seed. But it was God who gave the increase. Again, we learn that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. The power is in the gospel. The power is in this all-inspired word of God. It's not in you and I. And although we have a role in bringing others to Jesus, we need to be mindful of what that role is. And we need to be mindful of the need to do our part in sowing and watering the seed. And then we need to leave the increase to God. Paul makes this very clear there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse number 6. And there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse number 6, notice what Paul says. He says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase?" God gave the increase. Remember that. And when we are mindful of the need to be doing our part, when we know what our part is, and we do our part, and we leave the results to God, it's going to help us be more effective in winning souls for Jesus. And that takes us to one more key to share with you this morning in regard to keys to winning souls. And that is, we must always give God the glory. How many times have we seen example after example, not only in the Apostle Paul, Peter, and John, but even Jesus, as they were out giving, seeking to preach and to teach others. And who did they give the glory to? The Father. You see, just as the Apostle Paul, as the Apostle Peter, as the Apostle John, and those great soul winner role models that we talked about a few weeks ago, just as all of them always gave God the glory, we too need to be mindful that if we're going to be effective in winning souls for Jesus, that we must not take credit for it when we win souls, but rather we must give credit to whom credit is due. We need to give God the credit. We need to give God all glory. And again, while we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, I'm mindful of what Paul went on to say. Because he didn't stop there after he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. But he went on to say there in verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Remember that. Remember that. And be mindful of the need to always give all glory in whatever we do to God. Going back there to the reading that Carlos so ably gave to us a few moments ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse number 31, Paul reminds us of the need to do all that we do to the glory of God. When he says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. Why? That they may be saved. Again, we need to be mindful of those inspired words of the Apostle Paul. We need to be mindful whatever we do, and that, by the way, is going to include bringing others to Jesus. We need to do all to the glory of God, being ever mindful of the fact, as Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, all glory belongs to God. And we need to remember, as we are bringing souls to Jesus, don't get a big head, but rather be one who gives glory to God. Brethren, may we all seek to apply these things that we have discussed this morning. And let's do all that we can to effectively win souls for Jesus. We're about to sing a hymn titled, All Things Are Ready. And maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will. As we talked about this morning, God desires for all men to be saved. And maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted to His will. You have an opportunity to do that, for you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe, like the Ethiopian eunuch of old, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized this very hour. And may we all always remember the need to continue to keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the light of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. So if there would be one here this morning, he would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be. Won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while standing and singing the song David selected.